Brian Levine, welcome back.
Great to be here again.
So yesterday we heard about Gould and his abandoning of the live concert experience and devoting himself entirely to recording, which was one of his ways of marrying himself with technology. And just as a note, you know, the Glenn Gould Foundation, of which you are executive director, awards the Glenn Gould Prize every 2 years to an artist who has not only mastered their craft to an exceptional extent, but also whose impact has extended beyond the traditional bounds of their field, as it was with Glenn Gould, whose imagination and work focused so much more broadly than just on the piano or even on music for that matter.
For sure. I mean, the Glenn Gould Prize really is a reflection of the Gould, the total artist and thinker. So it is quite rare among Canadian honors. It is absolutely international. It's open to all artists of all nationality. It is pan-artistic. So all of the fruits of the human imagination in any creative discipline in the arts are eligible. Although I have to say that there is a kind of a gravitational pull towards music with Gould. It's internationally juried, and we have major, major artists from around the world who converge on Toronto, as they are about to do, and we're going to be announcing the next laureate on Glenn Gould's 90th birthday, which is coming up on September 25th.
Well, tell us about Glenn Gould and technology.
Well, having been bitten by the bug of recording, Gould began thinking, because he was a very thoughtful and a very provocative thinker, about where technology was going to lead us and how the kinds of benefits that he was experiencing personally could be manifested across society. And he developed a set of theories. You know, John Ralston Saul says that he is one of the seminal members of the Toronto School of Communications, along with Marshall McLuhan, on how technology enabled action at a distance, which meant that we could resolve conflicts with technology without violence, that we would be able to democratize the world through the empowerment of the individual through technology. And he used the example of music making. He said in the future, right now we have a very hierarchical structure. There is a record producer who decides what takes get made, and, you know, he calls those takes, and then the great artist, so-called, you know, decides what performance you get to hear in your home. But in the future, using equipment that anyone will be able to afford and own, they'll be able to take the raw materials from a recording session and assemble their ideal version. They will become the artist, the interpreter themselves. And of course, we're seeing very much that kind of future unrolling in front of us every single day. So he was, in every possible way, a man of the future. Whether his optimism about technology was well-placed or misplaced, we still have to figure out. I think a bit of both. I don't think he would have liked nuclear weapons terribly, which are obviously products of technology. But I think he saw an enormous creative potential and a liberating potential in technology. And that was reflected in the fact that, let's say, paid tribute to by the fact that when the Voyager spacecraft was launched, the people at NASA decided that this probe, which was going to go through the entire length of our solar system and then out into interstellar space, that it might one day be intercepted by some alien civilization. And what would we be telling them about ourselves? So they came up with the idea of creating a message in a bottle, so to speak, using the universal human language of music. And so they created what they call the golden record. It's called Sounds of Earth. And they, Carl Sagan assembled a team of experts, and they looked at the greatest musical achievements from around the world, from across all cultures, and refined it down into 23 tracks on a phonograph record, like an LP, but cast in gold, affixed to the Voyager spacecraft. And on that is Glenn Gould's, which makes him, to my way of thinking, the first Canadian in space back in 1977 when it was launched. It is now 14 and a half or so billion miles from Earth. And that Voyager is still sending signals back to Earth. And maybe one day it will encounter someone from out there, from Tralthramador or some other alien civilization.
So what will those Tralthramadorians be hearing when they encounter this golden record?
Well, they're going to be hearing the prelude in C from Book One of the Well-Tempered Clavier, the first of the preludes and fugues. And it is perfect music to introduce an alien civilization to both Glenn Gould and us, I think, because it is peaceful in a way that too often we're not. And it has a perfection of form that let's hope that one day we can aspire to actually achieving in reality.
All right, let's hear it. I guess we could call this Glenn Gould in Space.